Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, it's time now to hear from the Lord. Amen. I have this privilege to call my friend, my beloved friend, a preacher of the gospel. Yeah, you hear him, you like him. Amen. Minister, Pastor, Dr. Julius. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brother. You anointed man of God. I know that, and I know that. God bless you, my brother. I love you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. By now you know me. I'm Julius. I'm married to Charity. And by the way, today is Charity's birthday, so if you see her around, give her a high five and tell her happy birthday. It's either the echo or something. It's Lorraine. So much echo here. One young man was being taught how to preach in the ministry of Billy Graham. And when he went to preach, you know, in a podium, in a pulpit like this, and the congregation was right there, he kind of like blacked out, and he didn't remember the lines that he was told that he needs to remember to, you know, warm up the jet so the jet can, you know, move on or start preaching. So he leaned on the pulpit and he said, "Jesus is coming soon." And he tried to think, what was I told to say next? And he said again, "Jesus is coming soon." And he completely blacked out. And he said, "Jesus is coming soon." But he pushed the podium so much that he actually fell over. And he landed on an elderly lady who was sitting right in the front pew. And he really apologized to her. "I'm so sorry, ma'am." He said, "No, it's okay. You kept on saying you're coming. So I expected you." So this morning, I'll not pretend that I have everything together. But there is one thing I know, that there is something that God has prepared for each one of us. There is something that God has prepared for each one of us. I believe that when we gather in an assembly like this, there is always a piece of the cake. You may not like the cream, but you like the way the cake has been baked. Some of you like the cream. Some of you just go for those pink things, whether the flowers, whatever things that are put on top. Some of you want to remove the cream and just take whatever is inside there. Whatever is in the message today, take what is yours, run with it, and let it build you. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. In the assembly of Christ, of God, the biggest challenge we have sometimes is not believing in ourselves. Not believing that we are the people that God has created. And we are in His image. When God created us, in the very beginning, He said that, let's make man in our own image. And as I was thinking about this morning, I realized that when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm actually seeing the image of God. It looks like almost foolishness to think that way, but that's what the Bible says, that let us make man in our own image. So, and in His image, He made you and me. So today, when you look at yourself, you may value yourself differently, or when you look at other people, because of what they have, what they have achieved, what they have done, you may think yourself differently. But when you look yourself in the mirror and see that person there who is staring back at you, he or she has the image of God. And that changed my thinking this morning. That turned around the way I think about things, or even the way you perceive other people. When you look at somebody, you know, maybe the person has more hair than I have, or the person has an afro, beautiful, you know, smart, and you say, does that person has more God? Is that person made more in the image of God than you have been made? No, we have all been made in the image of God. And this morning, you are reflecting the images of God. This morning, we are images of God. It is not what you have that defines the image of God. It is who you are. Praise the name of Jesus. And because you've been made in the image of God, we are trying to warm up the engine. People, work with me here. And because you've been made in the image of God, whatever you ask, believing, it shall be done. Because in the kingdom of God, It's everything about faith. It's everything about faith. If you have no faith, if you have no belief, then you need to tarry. You need to come back a little bit and build that faith. Because in the kingdom of God, it's got to be about faith. In the kingdom of God, your walk has to be by faith. One writer wrote a book, and he's reflecting Paul's thoughts on Christian living. And he says that in Paul's mind, when he wrote all those books that he wrote, or he's credited to have written, he says that he sees people giving their lives to Jesus or changing their lives, giving their lives to the Lord. But then from that point, they start walking in a third dimension, in a different level. I'm here on earth, but I'm not living like a person who belongs here. I'm living as a person who is living a heavenly life. I am no longer of this world. I have been changed. I have been transformed. I'm living like a person who has a kingdom that is awaiting for. Praise the name of Jesus. Because of that, I know that anything that we see has been created by God. Goliath was created by God. He really was. But think about it. God cannot create a Goliath. This is a good thing. He cannot create Goliath without a Goliath favor, without a Goliath strength, without a Goliath mentality. God cannot allow a giant into your life without giving you an opportunity to think, Pastor, how am I going to bring this giant down? He cannot create such a huge thing to scare you without giving you an opportunity, without bringing that mindset to you, how can I bring this giant down? For every giant, for every Goliath, God allowed there to be a David. And this morning I'm going to challenge us. And my prayer, dearly beloved, is that by the end of this short speech or preaching or whatever you want to call it, by the end of it, my prayer is that you'll find yourself somewhere and tell yourself, this has been the mountain, this has been the Goliath, this has been my issue, I'm going to tackle it, I'm not going to run away. God cannot allow a problem without a solution. And how many of us know that there are so many issues that we encounter every day? Every day. Issues with our children, issues, family issues, issues with the places where we work, issues with whatever it is. As long as we are humans living together, there will be issues because we are not perfect. Even sisters or brothers fight. They disagree. You know, they will always disagree. But God allowed them to be there, but he also brought a solution. He always brought a solution. And I ask myself, why is it so difficult for Christians to live differently? Why is it so difficult for Christians to approach issues differently? You know, once you realize those simple truths, that for every problem there is a solution, for every Goliath there is a David, then there is nothing that is difficult for you. It is a mentality that we need to keep reminding ourselves. It's a mentality or a thought pattern that we need to make sure that it is always in our lives. And that is what is going to make this journey to be easy for us. Finally, the third thing I want to mention before we take off is that God does not give ordinary people extraordinary miracles. If you feel that you're just an ordinary person, the most you can ever receive from God is an ordinary miracle, an ordinary solution, an ordinary breakthrough. But if you consider yourself extraordinary, going beyond the limits, going beyond where the bars that people have set for you. There are people, by the way, perhaps in this church, perhaps where you work, perhaps your brothers, perhaps your parents, perhaps people that you encounter, but they have said, that one cannot go beyond here. That one will not go beyond here. They want to make you ordinary. But hear me, if you're going to consider or receive that word that you've been given, that you cannot go beyond here because that's what you've been told, that's where you remain. It is time to break through the barriers that have been set for you. It's time to break through the limitations that people have set or imagined that you cannot go beyond this thing. They are not the ones who created you. It's God who created you, and he created you in his image. He knew that you are going to be an extraordinary person. Are you with me, people? Yes. He created you because he knew that you're going to do extraordinary things. But you got to live that life of being extraordinary. If you think yourself ordinary, you cannot achieve that which is ordinary. And this morning I challenge you to examine your life even as you go through the scriptures and the thoughts that I'm going to forward before you. Think about yourself. Think about where you are. Where am I? Am I just ordinary? Am I just doing ordinary things? Then perhaps that's the life that you're living. But if you want to achieve extraordinary things, and extraordinary is not just the words. I try to take a tangent from the things that we hear from televangelists and prophets and whatever you call them, because there are a lot of buzzwords that go around in Christianity today. I'm not a person of buzzwords. I'm a person who believes in the Word of God. So this is not just a buzzword. What I mean with being extraordinary is to do things that are beyond people's expectations, things that even surprise you yourself. Because if you set a goal for yourself, you will achieve it. If you set a higher goal than what you have achieved, you will achieve it. If you don't set a goal, you will achieve it because you didn't set up anything. It is what you set yourself to do that you achieve. Am I speaking to somebody today? There is no situation that you have encountered that surprises God or God cannot handle. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Or a complication or a situation at your workplace or in your marriage or with your children or with your relationships with your friends, there is no situation that is so complex, that is so huge, or that it amazes God. How is she going to get out of this? How is he going to get out of this? There is none. And that gives me a lot of confidence. Because when you face problems, it is not time to start wondering, what am I going to do today? It is time to say, how am I going to see God move in this situation? Because God has a solution for it. God has a solution for it. Last week, somebody called me. And as usual, you know, they say, hey, how are you doing? It's a buzzword. How are you doing? And this person said, oh, it couldn't have been better. And that kind of like threw me back, because I'm so used to hearing people say, oh man, we are there, you know, we are pushing on, you know, that's life, man. You know, that's struggles. But he told me, no, I'm okay. You know, it couldn't have been better. You know, and I told him, oh, that's a good one. It makes my day. And I really meant it, that it really made my day. Because the words that you speak, they come alive. When you say that I'm there, I'm just struggling, or things are not working out, that's what happens. But if you speak positive things in your life, that is what comes to being. The thief, standing by the side of Jesus, or hanging by the side of Jesus, had only one plea. Remember me. Remember me. There is one thing he knew. This is it. This is the end. I gotta know my destiny. He hadn't lived a good life, but he decided it's not gonna end this way. Jesus, remember me. Remember me. And right there and then, Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. You know, what it teaches me is that God knows the situation, your circumstances, and your thought pattern, but he allows you, he wants you to be the one to ask from your heart. He just can't come dishing, you know, blessings and things, you know, that you will not even know how to use. He gives you an opportunity to ask. And now, because we are in the high waters, we need to go back to the scripture. And our scripture for today is going to be Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Do not despise or discount yourself. This is not in Mark. Do not despise or discount yourself as unworthy to call upon God, or to think that I am not of any value. My problems are too huge. My problems are too filthy. My situations are so ugly. I cannot call upon God. Because if you find yourself as unworthy, if you find yourself unworthy to present your situation before God, there is no one who can present those issues before God. The other thing that I need to challenge you as we walk through this short scripture is that you do not need to write a check to God, or to be a faithful member of a church, or to be a faithful usher, or whatever it is that we feel that is the right thing to perform as a Eucharist so that God can hear our prayers. You do not need to bring a gift and name it whatever you want to name it so that God can hear your prayers. You do not need to complete any sacraments for God to hear you. Brothers and sisters, God will hear you without them. God will hear you without those acrobatic things that we've been taught by, unfortunately, the Pentecostal churches. There are things that have been done. Sometimes you just sit back in awe and surprise as you hear that, and I hear this has been advanced by Pastor Tony and Pastor Julius, that sometimes you sit back in amazement, wondering, which God is this? How commercial has God become? That before you come to God, you have to come before a man of God. And please don't call me a man of God. If you want to call me a man of God, call yourself a man of God first, because we are all people of God. Because we are all created in His own image. Hallelujah. So why would I want to come and run here and bring a gift? And please don't misunderstand me. I'm just stating a fact. To come and bring a gift to the man of God, so that I can be able to be an advocate for you to God. Yet you have... Oh God. Yet you can still be able to speak to God the same way. Just like I have said, you do not need to complete any sacraments or any lesson or to have a prerequisite to be able to talk to God directly. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. It is not, oh Julius, when you pray for me, remember, is you when you pray. Pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. You have the right to approach the heavens. You have the power. You have every credential as a child of God to call upon the heavens. And God hears. Do you know why? When you repented, there's a misconception that they say that God does not hear the prayer of sinners. Let's prove it wrong. How did you get saved? Didn't you pray and say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner, or a wretched one. I've done wrong things. And probably you went through the liturgy of the things that you did. Forgive me, oh God. Didn't He hear you? Weren't you a sinner? God will hear you. Mark 10, 46. They came to Jericho as He and His disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. But Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, Call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart, get up, he's calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, My teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. There are three things I'd like us to get here as a confirmation of why I believe that God will hear your prayers. I don't know why God placed this upon my heart today, but I feel that there are times that we feel so exhausted with the things that we have carried, with the burdens that we have carried for ourselves and for other people. And I feel it's a good moment to just go there to just assure you, you don't have to pray in a way that you had other people praying for God to hear your prayers. You don't have to pray in King James language, Oh, thou mighty liveth Jehovah, for God to hear your prayers. You don't have to pray in Hebrew or Greek for God to hear your prayers. All that you need to do is to take your situation before God. He will answer your prayers. And right here, there are three lessons that we learn, and there could be more, but I just picked on three. You can go and read it and learn more lessons. But there are three lessons that I feel that I want us to go through. And the first one is that for you to call upon God for help or for intervention, it means that you have confidence in Him that you are calling. You are confident that, number one, He will not just hear you, but He has whatever it is that you think that He's going to do, that magic, that miracle, that answer that you have been expecting. You are sure of that. It means that you have come to the end of the road. You know, think about it. When you go to somebody for help and say, Jimmy, I need you to help me in something. It means I have struggled on my own and it has not worked. I've come to the end, and right now the only person I think that can help me is Jimmy. And Jimmy will tell me, this is easy. This is how it works. So it means for you to call upon God that you have reached the end of your road. You have reached the end of your thinking. You can't process it anymore. You have no answer. You have no suggestion. You are just blank. And all that you need is that one. Praise the name of Jesus. It means you've stopped struggling and looking for solutions on your own. It means that you have come to the end of the road. It means you have come to that point of expecting the improbable. There is something, you know it is possible, but you don't know how to get there. You know it is, you can reach there, but you have no idea how to get there. You know you can be healed, but you've tried everything else and it is not working. You know you can pass that exam, but you've studied, but you don't know how else to do it. That's when you call upon the name of Jesus. Am I speaking to somebody today? In Ephesians and chapter 4, verse 14 and 16, if we can get there real quick, Paul tells the Ephesians that you need to grow up. You need to mature. You need to be people that are not going to be wavering like a flag. Today you're here, tomorrow you're there. 4, 14, 16. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. I don't even know why I picked that. But the part that I was more interested in is that verse 14, that you must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind or doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. You know, when you know where you are going, when you know what you want, skeptics will come in your life. People will start showing up. People you have never known. They say, it's not possible. It can't be done. I have never heard of anybody who has done that. It's not possible. But Paul is telling the Ephesians, we must grow up. Those are the kind of things that children discourage each other. People who are still immature in the way they do their things. That's how they discourage each other. But he's telling you to level up. That is the ordinary way of living. Where you share, you know, this is what I would like to you pray for me. This is, and the person is like, you know, oh my goodness, how do I even pray for this person? Because I have not even reached there. And sometimes there's the danger of telling people, pray for me in this area. Because you're telling for somebody, and let's give, for example, an easy example. I want to buy a house, Pastor Tony. And so I come and share this need. You know, I really need to buy a house. You know, pray for me to buy a house. But you yourself, I'm asking you to pray for me to buy a house. You don't have a house. So how can you then be able to stand into my situation and say, and pray for me? How can you be able? I'm actually much better than you. You know, and the point I'm trying to put across is that sometimes you are better positioned to intervene for yourself than asking somebody else to intervene for you. The second thing that is most likely to happen is this person, you know, saying, not even praying for you, saying, this guy, because he's this, now he thinks he can buy a house. Now he thinks he, you know, now those are the skepticism that comes in. Because this person has reached here, you start seeing the human part of the person instead of seeing the faith that this person is trying to inject into his life to be able to get that which is desiring, and that is a house. Paul is saying, grow up. You know, wisen up. There are some things that you can share. There are some things that you don't need to share. There are some things that you can tell people to pray for. There are some things that you can say, God, this is you and me. Let's go back to blind Bartimaeus. How many people do you think he asked, you know, pray for me? You know, I've been blind for so long, man. They saw him. They saw him. But when it came to that miracle, it was him and God. It was him and God. There is nobody who feels your pain more than you feel your own pain. There is nobody who can pray for yourself more and harder than you can pray for yourself. And why should you do so? Because he hears those prayers. He hears those prayers. Secondly, why will God hear your prayers? Because he did not send his son in vain. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 to 11. Matthew 7, 9 to 11. He says, if we know what to give our children when they ask for them, or whatever they ask for, we don't give them stones when they ask for bread, how much more our Heavenly Father? Even if your child has been rebellious, even if your child has been rebellious, and your child comes and says, Daddy or Mommy, I need this, in your own parenting attribute or nature or characteristic, you'll go down and provide for that child. Because that is your child. The child is not doing what you want, but that is your child. If that child is hungry, you know, and the child just wants a burger, you may remember, I told you to do this, but here's the $5, go buy your burger. You'll still provide. And so what Matthew is asking is that if then you being so earthly know what to provide to your children, how about your Heavenly Father when you ask Him? When you ask Him for whatever it is that is in your heart, whatever it is that you're desiring, how much more? Why will God hear your prayers? Number three, because you have direct access to God. You do not need an advocate to plead your case. And like we said, when Jesus taught us how to pray, He said, when you pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. That makes me feel so proud, because two things: that when I look at myself in the mirror, I see somebody who's in the image of God, in the likeness of God. So when I go to my Father, I'm not going to my Father as a stranger. I first of all feel like, God, you recognize me? You know, you and I are one. You know, you created me. I'm like you. So I'm praying, I'm asking, and I'm confident that you'll do whatever I ask Him to provide for us. So the lessons that we learned from Mark chapter 10 and verse 46 to 42. When blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, because of situation, because of his circumstance, he positioned himself. He knew there is only one thing that I can do. He was surrounded by people. You know, it's amazing. But when there is greatness moving, people surround that greatness. And it stops other people who are humble or who are the weak, the lowly. They have no way of reaching or even knowing what is going on, because you've been kept away. And so this crowd kept on moving, and there was no way this blind guy could go. Maybe he had his stick. But he knew one thing: Jesus is not going to pass me today. Jesus is not going to pass me today. And he called out. Actually, the Bible does not say call out. Mark says he cried out. No, he doesn't say cried out. He continually cried out. The Greek word that has been interpreted to cry, it is a continuous word. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they are like, shut up, man, you're making noise. Come on, what's wrong with you? This is Jesus, man, the Son of David. Keep quiet. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It was a continuous thing. Do you know what happened? Let's go back to Mark 10. This is really getting better than I had thought. Mark 10, 46. In 48, he says, but he cried out even more sternly, even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then 49, if you've not underlined 49, I would underline it. Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Jesus did not stand still because the other people were stopping the blind Bartimaeus from crying out. Jesus stood still because blind Bartimaeus was calling on him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Let's picture this blind Bartimaeus. He was blind. He was a beggar. He had nothing. He was a rejected member of society. He was the lowest of the lowest. He was nowhere. Probably if you'd be here, you'd probably just usher him out of mercy. You know, give him a nice seat and say, sir, do you want some water? That's blind Bartimaeus. But now, the Son of God has stopped his operations. And he says, where is he? Where is blind Bartimaeus? Where is Bartimaeus? Bring him here. Jesus stood still. He stood still to meet the needs of this one person. Just one person. Think about it. Think about it. When sometimes you have issues and you wonder, how can God hear me? When I have lived such kind of life. I remembered something that I'd written many years ago, and I need to read this. And it says, the past will not save us. The past will not help us today. What has happened has happened. It's what it is at best. Isaiah says, remember ye not the former things, but consider not the things of the old. What is past is past. You cannot change it. But you know what? You can change the future. You can change the future. And that's what blind Bartimaeus did. He realized, up to where I am, I have lived a life of rejection. Up to where I am, I have lived a life of poverty. Up to where I am, I have lived a life of being a beggar. Up to where I am, I have lived a life of being blind. And the situation of being blind, brothers and sisters, is not just the inability to see what is there or the inability to see light. It is their inability also to see a reflection of yourself in the inside. I wonder how many blind Bartimaeus we have today. That we look in our inside, but we cannot see. We cannot see the troubles that we have in our inside. We cannot see sometimes the shame that we carry, and we just need to ask for forgiveness from God. We cannot see the situation that is deep in our hearts. We are so blind. A pastor friend of mine used to repeat a phrase that you cannot change your beginning, but you can change your ending or where you're headed. You cannot change your beginning. You can't change, for example, where you are born. If you are born in Kisumudogo, you cannot change and say that today you are born in Dallas, Texas. You will always be in Kisumudogo. If you cannot change your beginning, I might change my name and call myself that from now henceforth, my name is no longer Julius Mwangi. My name is Julius White. But I know that in the very depths of me, I'll always be Julius Mwangi. You cannot change the beginning, but you can change your end. You can change your ending. You can change where you're heading to. Where you come from, where you are born, or your family, the things you've done, all those things, they are only as important as you want them to be. But you can change where you're heading. And that is what changed Bartimaeus's life. He decided up to this point. Up to this point. He was tired. And I think as Christians, we need to reach that level. That point where we say, up to this point. And unfortunately, sometimes we want people to come and to reason with us and say, yeah, you know, you can actually do that. Yes. Sister Ambo, yeah, you can actually tell God up to this point and then tell God what you want from this point. But what did blind Bartimaeus do? When he heard that Jesus was passing by, he didn't ask for permission. He knew, this is me. From this point, now, I'm not going to ask for permission. Can I cry out? Can I call out? Is it okay? Is it proper? Is it okay to say, Jesus, Son of David? He didn't care. He didn't care that there were men in suits or men with dignitaries or whatever they are called, extinguishers, whatever they are. He didn't care that there were Pharisees or Sadducees, whoever they are. All that he knew, it's Jesus. He must have known. This man, he's a healer. He must have heard something about Jesus' healing. He knew, this is a man. This is a man. And he cried out continuously until Jesus stopped what he was doing or where Jesus was going and said, where is the man? Where is the man? Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you today, you have direct access to the Father. You have direct access to Jesus. You can call him anytime and he will stop for you. He will stop for you and he will hear your case. He will hear your petition and he will answer you. Praise the name of Jesus. But Bartimaeus knew that Jesus, the Son of David, had something to do that he did not have. He had something that he, Bartimaeus, did not have. He believed in his heart that if only he could get Jesus' attention, if only I can get Jesus to listen to me, if only I can, you know, do something. But he was blind. The only thing he could get his attention with is what he had. And he called out, Jesus, Son of David. And Jesus stood still. Your cry to God, brothers and sisters, will make him stand still. It will make him stand still. Because he is responsible for you. When he created you, and I keep going to this phrase because I want to show you how important you are before God. You are not just a nobody. You are not just a creation that you are made, you know, fill the earth. Every person, no matter how little, even the littlest person that you have in this church, to the biggest person that you have in this church, big in size or whatever it is, not in positions and those things, they are important before the eyes of God. And God sees us. When you're walking around, when you came to church, you know, God could see you. So we are important before the presence of God. And when you call upon him, he will hear. He will stop what he's doing to respond to your cry. Praise the name of Jesus. It does not matter what it is. You waste so much time. We waste so much energy calling for people to come and intercede for us. And I'm not saying they don't ask for that, because there are times that we don't have any energies to pray for ourselves. And you want somebody, you know, this is what is going on in my life. Please pray for me because I don't even have the energy to pray for myself. That is okay. But I'm telling you, sometimes it is so much better when you take that possession of that right to call God and tell him, God, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Yourself. Because the pain that you are undergoing, nobody. For Bartimaeus, the way he called upon Jesus, there is nobody else. Nobody else who could have called upon Jesus the way Bartimaeus called. Because he knew his situation. I mean, somebody could have said, he's only blind. I mean, what's the problem? He's only blind. He's only poor. She's only... You know, people have a way of discounting other people's problems. So what is your problem? You're broke? She's only broke. What's the problem? The car is broke. The car just broke down. And that's why it is so much better for you to take that position that God gave you. When he said, when Jesus taught the disciples praying to him, when you pray, pray like this. It's a ticket to tell you, you can approach the heavens anytime. You have a ticket. Call upon him. It's the situation that you have encountered. Call upon him. He will hear. He will answer. Praise the name of Jesus. His blindness allowed him to see nothing beyond his condition. When he called on Jesus, he was unstoppable. He knew, this is my moment. This is my hour. When he cried out because he had a need. And that need had been so persisting to him. When he cried out, he did not waste any time. He did not consult or ask anybody to consider or to help him. He did not just sit back and say, well, Jesus knows. He created me. He will see me. He will heal me. He knows me anyway. He could have, but he didn't. How many of us sometimes just sit back and say, maybe it's the will of God. Maybe it's the will of God. And maybe it is. If you think it's the will of God, so be it. But I refuse to be blind. I refuse to be in poverty. I believe, I refuse to be in a situation that is making my life difficult. Why? Because the scripture reminds us that when you pray, pray like this, it means that I can go to my Father and ask of anything. He did not say, just ask for these things. He did not say, just ask for this. He did not say, just ask for when your body is weak, when you feel like you're sick. He says, when your body is not functioning right, you know, that's when you can pray. No. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father. It means to me, I hope it does mean to you the same way. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, as things are being done and operated in the heavens. Let them be done to me today, here and now. Stop the heavens on my behalf. Stop the heavens. See me. See my troubles. See my shame. See my agony. See what I'm going through. See what they're calling me. See what they've done to me. Now. That's blind Bartimaeus. He was calling now. It's not, God, if you can, if you will, now. I'm blind. I'm tired of being blind. I am tired of this situation. I'm tired of seeing people looking down on me. I'm tired of being rejected. I am tired of being embarrassed by people. It is time, God, now. You know, you probably haven't seen a man cry, but when a man cries, you know, when you used to preach in Kenya, we used to have a saying that, you know, when you go to a girl's school and the whole Christian Union gets saved, that's normal. You know, that's okay. So the Tuesday meeting, we'll go and say, oh, we went to Mombi girls, or we went to Mogoiri girls, or we went to Karoti girls, and over 100 girls gave their life to the Lord. And people would clap, and they'd say, hey, hallelujah. But when you went to Kangobiri boys, somewhere, I can't even remember where it was, and then only one person gave their life to the Lord, oh, the whole group would just stand up and say, oh, praise God. Because they know that for that one person to decide that, yes, I need to give my life to the Lord, that person really meant. And there's nothing against this. I'm just putting it across there. When a man cries, it means that this person, there is a real situation. There is something that is really hurting this person. You know, how many, even mothers, you know, when the boy cries, those of you who have boys, and you tell them, you know, be a man. You know, because men don't cry. Grow up, you know. Stop crying. So, and the boy, you know, has to wipe the tears because, so when a man cries, it means there is really something that is really making this person uncomfortable and he's at the end of the road. There is nothing I can do. That's blind Bartimaeus. That's blind Bartimaeus. And he knew, this is my moment. I'm not going to let it pass by. I'm not going to let my moment pass by. Brothers and sisters, I'm challenging you today. What is your situation? What is it that you are encountering with something that has persisted in your life for so long until you've given up? Think about blind Bartimaeus, born blind. Born blind. Let's think about his life, his parents, for example. He didn't have to be poor, but you're talking about a society that rejects people who are blind or people who have a handicap. So if you're blind, after some time, you've got to go and take care of yourself. We don't do that. That's a culture thing. And so he's rejected, he's left, and he goes there. And wherever he goes, maybe the gate where he's going to beg, because that time the cities are fortified, they've only got one gate. The gate that he goes, it's actually a gate that is reserved for the cripples. So he's rejected by the cripples also. So he has to go and look for another gate. And he goes to another gate and he finds, no, these gates are for the lepers. So he's rejected by the lepers. And so he has to go and look for another gate. How many times have we been rejected, brothers and sisters? Because of your situation, something that you cannot change. It is time to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. And he will stop what he's doing for you. He will stop what he's doing for you. You know, we like consoling ourselves that when you've prayed for something for so long and you tell yourself, maybe that's why God strengthened me or made me the way that I am so I can be able to endure these pains or this trouble. Maybe that's the way I am. Maybe that's what God wanted me to be. Think about Joseph. When Joseph was born and he had all those things that he had to share, the dreams that he had to share, everything was working negative in his life. Nothing was working right. Nothing. He shares a dream, he's rejected. He goes with his brothers, he's thrown in a hole. He is sold to the other one, he's been passed over the other. No, you take him, you know, you do this. He's promoted to the in the Pharaoh's house. The wife wants to seduce him. He's thrown to jail. The one that's thrown to jail, they're rejecting him. You know, you keep on going down and down and down. But I'm telling you, there is a plan that God has. And I remember someone, Pastor Tony, preached years ago, the blueprint of your life, that God has the blueprint of your life. That there is a point, but it takes you to say, up to this point. This is it. And it was a moment for blind Bartimaeus when Jesus came, and probably he had heard about Jesus. Probably he had heard about the miracles, but he must have positioned himself and said, where is Jesus today? He's by Jericho. I'm going by Jericho. Is that where Jesus? I'm going by Jericho. And he goes by Jericho, and Jesus is passing by. And he says, this is my moment. This is the day. I'm not going to let this moment pass by. And he called, and he called, and he called until Jesus stopped. Don't get tired of calling. Don't get tired of calling. He will hear you, and he will stop. There is one thing I can assure you today. Whatever it is that you are praying for, only you can stop it from happening by not calling. But if you call, he will answer. He will stop, and he will meet your needs. That is my God. Because he says that he is the God who changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he did it for blind Bartimaeus, he will do it for me. He will do it for you, brothers and sisters. Let's rise up, shall we? I'd like us to reflect on ourselves. And it's hard to reflect on yourself after there's so many words that have passed by. But I think it may just be proper for you to just pause for a moment and just go through your mind, your life, the things that you've encountered, the things that have been so hard, things that you've prayed for, some things that you've forgotten or neglected because there is no answer that is coming. If it truly matters to you, you need to call upon Jesus. If it truly matters to you, and I know that he will meet you at that point of your need, he really will. I know he will. He answers prayers. We are witnesses of many, many prayers that he has answered. He has called you to be extraordinary. For every problem that you might have encountered or you're going to encounter in your life, there is a corresponding solution. For every Goliath that is in your life, yes, believe it or not, you have that David strength to overcome that Goliath. Do not be overwhelmed by the things that you are facing today, beloved. You will overcome them. It's not time to give up or to surrender and say, maybe this is the way it was meant to be. No, we are made in the image of God. Rise up. Rise up and call upon the name of Jesus. He will meet you at that point of your need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you and want to bless your name. Above everything else, because you're merciful. Above everything else, because you're loving. And you understand us because, God, we are not strangers to you. This morning, Lord, in the Spirit, there's a cry of somebody here. Right now, somebody is crying out because of an issue that has been so persistent in their lives. They don't know what to do. They have no answer. And their heart is calling to your deep. That God, have mercy. Son of David, have mercy. Somebody has encountered a situation that is so negative, they don't know what to do, where to go. And they are crying out to you this morning. God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. A situation has become so negative, and every attempt to make it right has not worked. And Lord, somebody out here is saying, I have prayed, I have given up. I don't know whether God can hear me again. But I'm praying that, Lord Jesus Christ, today, you may hear their cry. That God, you may hear their cry. And that God, you may move in their situation in a new way. Somebody has been faced by a Goliath, a huge situation, a huge thing they never expected. And they're overwhelmed. They're in panic. They don't know how they can ever bring it down. But I'm praying this morning, oh God, that you may stop all the operations of the heavens like you did for blind Bartimaeus and come down for such in the name of Jesus. There's a cry out to you in Empowerment Christian Center, Lord, from somebody, Lord. There's a cry from somebody, from a child. There's a cry, Lord, for help. There's a cry, oh God, out here. Somebody who has come to the end of the road. Somebody who has no answer. Somebody who has tried everything and everything has failed. And they're calling for help, Lord. They're asking, God, will you hear my cry? In your presence this morning, Lord, we bring our troubles, our situations. That God, you may minister, Lord, to as many as are calling upon you this morning in the name of Jesus. To as many, Lord Jesus Christ, as are calling upon you and crying out in their spirit for a healing, for a deliverance, for a solution. I am praying that God, this morning, you may meet them just like you met Bartimaeus at his point of need. Meet us, O Lord, this morning at the very point of our need. We thank you, Lord, for ministering to us today. We thank you for speaking to our spirits and speaking to our hearts, oh God. We bless you, Lord. We exalt your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.